The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. This is Guardian Radio AM with Cecil Newry. Your host, Erin Green, today sitting in for Mr. Newry, and Mr. Mark Palmer is going to stay with me as we continue discussing these things and some new stories. Okay, Mark, I just wanted to finish off the sort of referendum talk, which I may get into tomorrow with another guest. But I got a message here, a text says, morning, Lady Green and guests. I, too, would love to wish a happy, joyous birthday to all the special Leo-born persons I know. Blessings always with love from the mayor of Grand Bahama, Mr. Rudolph C. Stubbs, Freeport, August 2022. Well, listen, thank you. Thank you. Man, Mark, you know how special people feel when they get a birthday shout out? Mm. Yeah, man. Or when you tell them happy birthday on the road, or better yet, do a little birthday dance and sing an ancient man song for them. In fact, I got a text here that says, Erin, where's ancient man? You should have him on your show for a song. First of all, you can't have ancient man on your show for one song. Gay, let the boy play. Second of all, ain't nobody playing for a song. You think this medieval times, hey, people want cash about a song. That's what you just give poor people.
So you know that Leo's going to love the shout-out because they're delighted to embrace their royal status.
Yes.
That's how they describe it. I just looked up. Vivacious, theatrical, and passionate. They're natural leaders, and they enjoy cultivating friendships and romances. So.
But look here, that's all the Leos I know, except for the romances. I mean, they're cultivating romances with other people, just not me. But happy, happy, happy birthday. Happy birthday once again. All right. So, Mark, just to sort of close out this referendum discussion, I wanted to talk about it, you know, but we got so plenty to talk about. I just want to say to the Bahamian people, like, referendums are not easy things. This is not something you could just go in the voter's booth, read the question, and answer. A referendum requires a degree of legal literacy. Like, you have to understand the law, and you have to understand, like, how changes in the law would impact other laws and other areas, right? So it's no easy, easy thing. And I will certainly say, before I allow anybody to insult, like, anybody and say, oh, people were stupid, oh, the people didn't care to learn. First of all, these things are not something you could just learn. You can't go off on your own to the library and figure this stuff out. It requires intensive help. In fact, when you go to like the bar, go to the Bar Association and ask the lawyers, how many of y'all are constitutional lawyers? How many of y'all could take up a constitutional law case right now? And I bet you,
not many.
And they will say, listen, in fact, I have to tell you, I'm obligated to tell you I shouldn't take up your case because I am not sufficiently learned or studied or expert in that field.
It tends to be human rights focused, so there's not a lot of money in that.
Right.
Money's in corporate law, right?
Right,
Or conveyance thing.
Yeah.
So there's only a few lawyers that really know their constitutional stuff, and they're getting flack, you know, when they take the government on.
Right. And God forbid, prior to the referendum, they accepted an appointment by an administration to do this or that, right? And so there's an
hand is tied, right? That's happened many times.
Or the perception is that the position is tied to a political party or perspective,
right?
Or you
get a contract, right? And
right.
That suddenly nullifies your voice.
Right. Yeah. And so the people who should have been leading the discussion, I think, leading the discussions multiple and creating frameworks for layman terms, right? For ordinary people to have these discussions, that space was not made available. Right? Now, mind you, you could have done what I did, which is just run a campaign. Right, you don't need to be invited to the table to do this, but there weren't sufficient stakeholders and experts in the conversation in an accessible way, right?
Well, actually, one of the things, you know, Anthony Hamilton is always saying, you know, every Bahamian should have a copy of the Constitution in their pocket or in their bag or something, because it's not a huge document that you can buy it at Bookworld, right? It's kind of, and you can read through it relatively quickly. Now, of course, the legal, you know, all that part of it, but at least you know when you read it, you can, you know, certain clauses are going to stick out to at you. And say, oh, but wow, I didn't realize that.
Mark, look here, you know what this means? It means that next week we get to have a People's Constitution giveaway. Remember Keisha Ellis Hunt, I think former executive director at Hands for Hunger, or, you know, worked at Hands for Hunger. She and former lecturer or staff member at UB wrote the People's Constitution, a layman's version of the Bahamas Constitution. I got a couple of copies. We're going to have to do a giveaway next week. But you're right, right? Like, everybody should have a copy of it.
Because it's an interesting, really interesting document, you know, and you'd be surprised how many rights you actually have that are slowly being eroded, or they're not being recognized.
And protected.
By law enforcement or otherwise.
Right. And so, you know, I wanted to say before we go, because it's a heavy, it already heavy for me now, right? But the government wanted to create constitutional equality between men and women. That's what they wanted to do, right? I don't believe that they wanted to sneak in same-sex marriage or sneak in the liberalization of gayness, LGBT rights. That's not it. They wanted to solely create constitutional equality between men and women.
And that's fair.
Right. The mechanism required to do that does far more than just create constitutional equality between men and women. To create constitutional equality between men and women, you have to entrench the principle of non-discrimination on the basis of sex in the Constitution. Entrenching that principle does far more. It essentially entrenches protections for LGBTI people as well, because virtually all LGBTI discrimination is in fact sex-based discrimination. Right? And so I could be fair. In fact, let's talk about fairness. In my campaign, I shared my information with people who supported my campaign. There's like two people, and I'm being dead honest here. There are like two people who supported my campaign, and I shared my information with people that did not support my campaign, because my objection to the exercise is that you are creating an environment for people to vote on things they don't understand. Mm-hmm. And some of the people voting will be voting to limit their own rights or invisibilize themselves without realizing that that's what they were doing. And that's exactly what happened. And that is atrocious.
Look at what happened, the referendum in the UK on Brexit. You know, when they look back, the fear-mongering that was, you know, shown, well, it was ostensibly, it was just fear-mongering that was, you know, this was what's going to happen. A lot of it was not completely untrue. Mm-hmm. You know, when the figures that they were, the models they were using were completely made up and had no reality to it, but they prejudiced a huge amount of people who say who didn't take the opportunity to educate themselves to vote a particular way.
Yeah. I found a lot of people were shocked.
I mean, do you think the people at Bahamians trust the government to carry out a referendum, because they've been really not very successful, have they?
Yeah. No, I don't think, and I think we've
heard to honestly tell us what it's about in language that we can understand, and simplify it, not make it too complicated. Because I think that whole that referendum that you're referring to seemed to be very complicated, and it was you know, certain aspects of it appear to have been hijacked by people who were able to, you know, scare people if they voted a certain way. And had it been simpler, and just maybe one item on it, maybe they could have pushed it through. But why is it? You know, that's the thing. Do we trust our government to be able to actually push it through? Because it's not an easy thing to do.
Right. I think we don't trust them, and I think there are two things going on. Right. I think there is I don't trust governments generally, and then the second thing is, I could look at this process from the start and realize that you're not serious about it. You know, this isn't real. You're not serious, and thus why should I trust you, right? I think there are people who go in with an open mind and take two steps in and realize whether they can articulate it or not, or whether it is a conscious thought or like a feeling, a sense. they realize that something is wrong and I don't trust this, right? Mm. And I tell you what, children do it all the time. Children, your children in your family, children in the classroom, children in your group activity, they take two steps into the space, two steps into the activity, two steps into your life, and they get a sense that this adult is not making any sense. Mm-hmm. And they make that assessment very quickly, mm-hmm. and then they begin to figure things out, start mm-hmm. trying to figure things out yeah. on their own. You know?
Yeah, you say it. You say something, but you do the opposite. Mm-hmm. Or you don't follow through what you
right.
say.
And so, you
that's
know,
obvious, isn't it?
In the instance of the gender equality referendum, though, right, the mm-hmm. government wanted to create constitutional equality between men and women. Mm-hmm. That's it. And they were attempting to avoid all of the other things that come mm-hmm. along with it, right? Hence, the second proviso. And when I say the second proviso, if people who are intimately familiar with the exercise would know that the Constitutional Reform Committee in 2013, when it announced its first recommendation, that recommendation included a proviso to limit the inclusion of the word sex, right? The entrenchment mm-hmm. of this principle, to limit it from impacting the temporary ban on same-sex marriage that exists in ordinary legislation, right? That is the initial yeah. proviso. The Prime Minister did not include that proviso in the official exercise, mm-hmm. right? When questioned on it, he indicated that he didn't feel it was a decision for them, the government at the time, and for us to make for future Bahamians.
Yeah.
What was unsaid was that in other Commonwealth, common law constitutions, the entrenchment of the principle of non-discrimination on the basis of sex may have opened the door for a challenge and the ban on same-sex marriage in ordinary legislation. But our Constitution has a provision, 26(4)(c), Article 3, Article mm-hmm. 26(4)(c), that permits the state, allows the state to discriminate in matters related to personal law. Right? So Aaron Green can't go to a court and say that those provisions there that y'all use to say I can't marry another woman, those are discriminatory. The court will say, yes, Ms. Green, you so smart, you're right. They are discriminatory, but there's nothing that you and I could do about it. Only Parliament could change it. Mm-hmm. Right? That's Chapter 3, mm. Article 26(4)(c). I am affirmed in this position. I can share this with y'all. In 2003, when post the initial gender equality referendum launched by the FNM, the PLP then won that election 2002 and committed to having a proper consultation, mm-hmm. created a committee, appointed officers, they did education campaigns, and they created the booklet. The booklet came out by Independence 2003, Independence Church Service, Bishop Samuel Green got up in the Independence service and said, if Parliament enacts or allows same-sex marriage, I will become the next Guy Fawkes. And that's because in those wow. training yeah. and education exercises that the committee itself had, he learned that Parliament could repeal or amend the provisions that constitute a ban, a temporary mm-hmm. ban on same-sex marriage at any time.
Wow. Okay.
Right? Yeah. That's what inspired that mm-hmm. moment. Now, I did an interview with Bishop Green with Controversy TV, Utah Taylor and Lincoln Bain, a couple of years after that. It never aired. I hope the footage exists still. I hope they saved it. But it was a fantastic conversation, right? And in that conversation, he apologized to the LGBTI community and to the wider public that when he realized that the community thought that he was speaking to them directly, that he wanted to apologize because he was speaking specifically to the parliamentarians. Mm-hmm. And he appreciates the impact of the words but he wanted us to know that, that those words weren't direct, even though they impact us, they weren't directed at us, and it was not an attempt mm-hmm. to make us scared or to feel like we're not a part of the nation, mm-hmm. right? As a part of the movement, right? As a part of what happened and what was said. But, you know, a referendum, just one question referendum, like, do you want to leave the European Union? Mm-hmm. Takes years mm-hmm. of public education, if not yeah. a decade, right? But imagine a 4-5-part question that requires you to understand not just the space, like immigration, like, okay, people have children, and they, but the law, the constitutional law around it, right? Mm-hmm. It was just far more that could have been done, right? And even though the whole process started in 2013 and the election was 2016, the bulk of those 3 years were not used in an intensive public education campaign.
Yeah.
Yeah. Producer, I see we got a caller on the line. And Mark, I got a text here that says, tell your guests black people don't read. And I just want to say, first of all, we read, you know. You just got to make it accessible to us. Because remember, some people did come to us with this Bible. Look where we are now, buddy.
You could find every little phrase.
Talk about vehemence, don't like read. We weary. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock. Good morning. You're on Guardian Radio AM. Good morning.
Lost him.
We lost him. Sorry about that. Another text here. Great show as usual, Miss Green. Referendum don't work in the Bahamas. Me and my woman had an argument. I tell her, we will hold a referendum for me to say sorry. She was not pleased. My point is, Bahamians don't like referendum. True story. True story. But that's it, right? Like, when you talk about the matter of trust, who is an authority over me? Mm-hmm. And you could see it in that partnership, you know, that sort of level of relationship.
I just think we feel we've been swung, you know. When you get swung once, when the government tells you they're going to act in good faith and they don't, it's just...
Yeah.
Most people just give up. I mean, I'm very, very skeptical now.
Yeah, and I mean, there's an apathy.
And that's you know, when somebody does that, intentionally, in my mind, you know, to mislead the public, that has huge consequences down the line.
Yeah.
Because if he hadn't have done that, you know, maybe there would be more trust now in that whole process.
Now, I tell you what, with the gender equality referendum, I do not think it was necessarily an attempt to mislead people in the full extent of it, right? Particularly with the LGBTI issues. Maybe with some of the other things, but with everything to do with LGBTI.
I was thinking, referring more to the regulation of the...
Gambling. Well, that's what I was about to say, yes. Yeah. So I said, that one...
Do you remember when the police, they couldn't close them down because the inspector police came and said, oh, you know, we just can't close down these shops because we just can't send somebody in Dubai. You know, it was just ridiculous. You know, I remember reading that and saying, come on. And people, Bahamians ain't stupid. They read straight through that,
you
can't get send one man in with Dubai a ticket to close that shop down. They couldn't do that.
But I mean, how could you close it down when you don't give the people business license?
And so on and so forth. I mean, I don't need to say anything more. Right. But that's my reference. The gender equality thing was much more nuanced, and I don't believe there was an intention there to.
I think that the law... Mm-hmm. Like the jurisprudence
is,
but not just that, it's so new.
Yeah.
And that's the point I want to make, that it was so new. And so my critique was not that I thought that they were trying to swing the Bahamian people, although I felt that they felt like we'd spend too much energy trying to explain it to them fully, which is more of a frustration than a swing. I think it is that they didn't say, look, we need to take the time to examine the cutting edge of this law, the new jurisprudence. Mm-hmm. Why are other jurisdictions doing what they're doing while we are intending to move in the opposite direction? It required more time and more engagement, right? Because you're making decisions for future Bahamians.
And it has to be bipartisan. You know, mm-hmm. it has to be If we're going to look at the two parties, it has to be something that is done by the FNM and the PLP together. You know, only then are you going to have it. If it's just one party trying to push it through, then you're going to have that, you know, that mentality that it's the team, not my team, right? Mm-hmm. And I want to scupper it.
Yeah. I got to read this text, Mark, because I don't want this texter to think that I'm ignoring them or I'm reading it and won't read it on air. I want to read it so they could hear it. Mm-hmm. It says, good morning, Ms. Green. Regardless to your belief, you keep pushing this agenda. You are still a female on nothing can change it. You cannot force your agenda on all Bahamian. We still are a godly nation. LBGP is your personal beliefs. Holy reunion is between a man and a woman. Right? I wanted to read. I don't want them to think that I wouldn't read the text, right? And I just want to say, I'm still a female. I've never suggested that I'm trans. And even though I'm masculine presenting, it's because I live on a plantation, which is basically a glorified bush with pretend services. Okay? And I don't want to wear frilly, lacy things. I want to be able to run into or out of the bush as necessary when needed. Also, the statement suggests that while you are passionate about what you believe, you're not as educated or as informed as you think you are. And I would just say, take some time in private to read more.
Because it is one perspective.
Right. And not just that, like, to better inform yourself. I'm not saying change your perspective, right, or change your position, but read more so you better understand what it is you want to say and how you can say it. That's all. I ain't gonna fight you. Like I say in the referendum, I shared what I gathered, my position, with people who I know were directly opposed to what it was I was lobbying for. I ain't no problem with that. We got a couple callers on the line. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock. Sorry, you're on Guardian Radio AM. I on the clock.
Yeah. Clock, go on.
Yeah.
But Aaron, get him back to what I see of it. And I must urge the Bahamian woman in our society, don't sell their self short. Connection. Mm-hmm. It should go to a referendum where it should be constitutional or not. Lawmakers. Yes, it might be safe, but you need government to come along and change it. That's legislator.
Yeah, man.
We all know that.
Yeah.
You agree, right?
Right, that's why constitution is the preferred option.
Right, because when it was brought up, I did vote for this in the referendum.
2002.
I don't feel, it could be discriminated, and it's not gender equality. If you allow the lawmakers to pass it and not pass it by the people, I believe this goes to a single referendum. The people will pass it.
Come on, I got you.
You know, I hate the fact that Bahamian woman passed on their citizenship to lawmakers.
Yeah.
And that's constitutional. And then it's sad that a Bahamian woman and would stand for that. It's a sad day.
I got you.
All Bahamian woman should stand up and tell the government, I don't want you all to get in it. I want the people to make a decision. When the people make a decision, it's hard to change because it's constitutional.
I got you.
I know you got me, but I want to pop it.
Yeah. Yeah, I understand.
Here's what I'm saying. I'm glad that I could pass on, if I'm mad or front, I'm happy I could pass on my citizenship and constitutionally and how one can't be touched.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
If the image woman satisfied with that, an educated woman, it's sad. It's a sad thing.
Right. I would demand, thank you much. I would demand that what we do is we say to the government, listen, we know that the barrier to constitutional equality for women and men is you are concerned about being accused of freeing the gay people. Just have the conversation, government, and say that ensuring these things for Bahamian women and men, the equality, the ability to pass on citizenship, to maintain their legacy with their children, right, is far too important. It's far more important than your desire to police LGBTI people.
Yeah.
This thing is so important that we're going to do it, and we're going to let the gay people have a little bit of protection, man. What's wrong with that?
Well, I tell you, when you know, there are implications, because I work for a nonprofit, and we're trying to find somebody to run one of our partners, and the lady that we chose, unfortunately, her Bahamian mother married a foreigner, and so she hasn't got status. We have to get a work permit for this woman,
yeah,
who is Bahamian, as you could imagine.
And looking at plenty of these people more Bahamian than me.
And she's so talented, and we have to go through that and pay some incredible amount of money to have effectively a Bahamian in my eyes to come and work for us.
Let's get to this caller. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock. Turn your radio down for me.
Hey, good morning.
Morning.
Listen, I don't agree with them trying to pass this without going to the public, but I understand PFP's agenda. I say PFP, I'm sorry, but for now, that's who's there.
Yeah, that means...
PFP agenda, because they know that more than likely it will come back in a no vote like it did before. Because what happened when it was there, they pushed for it to become to put a no vote for it.
Mm-hmm.
So because they did, you know, people turn it political. So they're not, Bahamians are not looking at, that's how I saw it. They're not looking at it as a referendum for right or wrong. Mm-hmm. They're looking at it that if I vote no, I vote no against the PLP and yes for the FNM. If I vote yes, I will. And this is how they are seeing it.
Yeah.
So political bias need to come out of it in order for it to be taken serious, because people are saying, well, we need more consultation. There was more than enough consultation the last time around. All over the place you could find consultation, town hall meetings and everything. And the people still said no in the gambling thing. And they turned around and passed it anyway.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming this one would be no different. When we say no, they're going to pass it anyway. So whether we say yes or no, I guess to save the money, do what you got to do, because you can do it anyway.
Yes,
ma'am. That's how I see it. Now, I may be wrong, but that's how I see it thus far.
Thank you. I got another caller. I got to go. I got to make this point. The second caller coming right now. So we get, Mark, we have to create a list right now of people who cannot be tainted by political affiliation. The people need to demand, we need to put out a list and let these people know, you may have political aspirations, buddy, but the people have demanded that you stay out of politics. So when we need unbiased, right? We need people who have no political affiliation, and the people can trust they will be available to us. And the person I put on that list, boy, I hope, because I don't know nothing about nobody business. I hope I could put Dr. Ian Strawn on this list, right? The people who we should be able to put on these lists and say, look here, that's who we're going to. And we know that people will trust them because of their commitment to country and not to political party. Mm-hmm. You know?
Agreed.
Mm-hmm. Caller, you're on the air?
Hi, Aaron. How you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
Always enjoy your commentary as well as the programs. And, of course, good morning to your guests in studio.
Morning.
Aaron, the previous caller was spot on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it is so sad that the last referendum was fraught, if I could put it that way, from inception, with the perception that there were hidden agendas. In it, a lot of persons were quite curious as to what was the real mission behind the questions that was posed on the last referendum. I am one who believes that if we're going to deal with a specific issue, that issue alone should be placed on the ballot for the persons, because many persons cannot walk and chew gum at the same time, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
If we're going to address something that is so salient, as it relates to the Bahamian people's rights, then I think the educational aspect of it, which the previous caller was so right when it came down to the gaming referendum, we did have quite a bit of information.
Mm-hmm.
However, if it comes down to the point where the Bahamian people, the voices, have spoken to something and they said no, and you have a government that spun around and went against the voices of the people, then the people are not going to trust government.
Yep.
And that is where we are at right now. No matter what political party is in, if the feeling or the perception out there is that my word means nothing, we went through a process, I said no, and they still turned around and then turned into a yes, let me tell you something. Democracy, as we know it, will spin on its head and it goes out the window. We will basically enclose and become a dictatorship or a theocracy, and we cannot allow that to happen. Thanks for taking my call this morning.
Absolutely. Thank you for sharing. Mark, get another caller?
Yeah, go for it.
Good morning, caller. You're on the air. Good morning.
Hello?
Hi, good morning. You're on Guardian Radio AM.
Yes, sir. You know, people love to talk about consultation, right?
Mm-hmm.
Consultation is when you come to the people, not when you go to the people, right? When you come to in the referendum itself is consultation, you know, its greatest form.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then when you talk about educating the people, you know, when you educate the people, you should educate them on both sides, you know,
mm-hmm.
once for and against.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and one side losing the referendum, you know, that's the consultation of the people. That's the voice of the people.
Mm-hmm.
You see, why should you know everybody have their convictions? You know, it's a culture from way back. I mean, that they go beyond religion, where
yeah.
women follow the men, even took their names and all.
Mm-hmm.
You see, even from the Bible, that you read the Bible, this one, you got the other one, you see Mary begot Sarah, you know, you understand what I'm saying? That's the way of the world, you see, and you could, because someone believes in it, that doesn't mean that they're wrong.
Yeah.
Or
right.
you're right.
Right, right.
That's their choice.
Yeah.
It's just like the 5-year referendum on the government. That's their choice. Not because they made a particular choice, and they choose menace doesn't mean that they were wrong and you were right.
Yeah.
It's still their choice. You know, we all we have to do is, you know, let me show you, we have immigration issues far beyond this gender thing, and you know, and what about wage equality? You like to talk about equality, talk about wage equality.
That's something that needs to be entrenched in the Constitution too.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Equity and equality.
So we can be compassionate about gender equality and not compassionate about wage equality.
I got you. Thank you.
As well as we go down south, right?
But hold on. I got to go. I got two more callers on the line. But I want to thank you. That's a good point. You know, we got to be as passionate.
Mm-hmm.
These issues intersect. You know, yesterday I didn't get to read the stat on the intersection between low literacy levels and poverty.
Mm-hmm.
These things intersect.
Of course they do.
Absolutely, caller. I got another caller on the line. Good morning.
Morning.
You know, Ms. Green, you know, the guy Gardner just now was right on point. And so I'd like to just speak on two issues that he mentioned. And one was immigration.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're talking about the gender equality. And he was saying other things more important
uh-huh.
should be put to the forefront, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I'd say this about begotten. A nation of sheep will begotten a government of wolves, right?
Uh-huh.
Philosophy. And then what happens is, especially if you had a divided sheep, partisanship, mm-hmm. you know, a coupled with mass ignorance, conformity, whatever you could find. We are doomed, all right? What you're witnessing now is totalized globe, right? And at home and at abroad. So they don't, people just don't get the clear message that these people really don't care about people. You have to understand how the elite think about the underclass, the goyim.
52, you know? Let me ask you a question. You think that Bahamian politicians are attempting to acquire the status of gold collar citizens?
Of course, because what happens is, it's like you don't have the knowledge. It's a global mandate. It has nothing to do with them. This is why so many subterfuge is going on. This is why politicians lie. They have to get people to think the way they want them to think in order to achieve what they want you to do. And so, let's say with the immigration issue, right? We sit back as demons, and every time this xenophobic BS narrative comes up, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm looking at as a 58-year-old man is that this, the particular with the Haitian migrants, right?
Uh-huh.
They pose the most different vagaries of problems amongst the Bahamian population, because what happens is they're the only population that's putting populations on each island, and nobody's saying anything about it. And so they have a population of 12 million. And so why is it this not a national security issue for me and any other Bahamian? But yet still we sit by idly and talk, oh, xenophobia, which is total BS, all right? And I noticed nobody stood for the Bahamian girl in the bus. Like, she was a squatter, but who's standing up for the Bahamian rights? I didn't hear from Luby or nobody, but she was a Bahamian, and she was living in a bus, but I didn't hear anybody rally around. But let me tell you this. Without insurrection and without 50,000 of us going in the front of Parliament Square, we would get nothing, all
okay.
right? A sheep in the north,
but
a sheep in the east,
52.
And a sheep in the west. Are shouting respectively, we'll not get anywhere.
52, don't use the insurrection language, man. I can go to the next caller, but don't use the insurrection language. But here's the irony. You can't have an insurrection with the amount of people in the Bahamas. You're going to need some more people, and you know, but you all want to run the Haitians away. It's a good thing, because we don't need no insurrection. We don't need any insurrection. Let me say it again. We don't need any insurrection. Okay? We don't need none. I know it seems like a good idea. It feels good, like you got a burst of energy and you want to jump outside and, what, collect conch shell and bottle? That's what you're going to do? You want to have a revolution? Put that to the side. Let's have an evolution. Let's start growing some food. That's the only organic we need in the Bahamas right now. It's to focus on growing food. That's what we need to do. One more call, Mark. Good morning. You're on Guardian Radio AM.
Ms. Green.
Yes, good morning.
I hope you're doing well.
Yes, sir.
I was listening with interest to your show. The point is that the people of the country have to be wary of any administration that defies the Constitution of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas.
Mm-hmm.
You must remember the vast majority of the people, 95%+ of them, have no understanding of the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
They've never been taught. However, that's no excuse to say you should keep not knowing. The fact that a government disrespects the people when you're going to tell them you're going to make a decision for them, that is not a good thing. And don't tell me about what's happening in Australia, what's happening in Nigeria, what's happening Canada. I'm not interested in that.
Mm-hmm.
We have our own constitution here. We need specific issues. We need specific solutions to deal with the issues that affect the Bahamian people.
Mm-hmm.
Now, any administration that doesn't want to have a referendum when the need arises for that to happen, and they think now they're going to take a statute law to supersede constitution law, that's utter nonsense and foolishness. That's not going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to see that fall on its face, lock, stock, and barrel. The government will come crashing to the ground. Now, the fellow talks about insurrection. He's looking at what he sees happening around the world.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the example of the Bahamian people in the last election. You see how peaceful it was that day
mm-hmm.
in September?
Mm-hmm.
Of last year?
Yes.
That's the way Bahamian people are. That is going to continue because of the entrenched provisions in that constitution that were made more about 50 years ago, I should say, even before then. When the people decided they wanted to go a certain way and put some foundation stones in place to build the Commonwealth. So all we have to do is build on what our forefathers left behind.
Now, sir, hold on. Let me pause you right here. Stay on the line. When we do end this call, please stay on the line so I can get your number.
Yes, ma'am.
Please. Thank you. But continue. Well, let me say this. I want to thank you for your contribution. That is mm-hmm. that is so important. And prior to the last couple of years, I know that even though people have distrust and there's growing a growing trust deficit with the government, last year, 2021, I think, was the first time that I've ever heard a sitting prime minister suggest that we're going to have to breach the Constitution to run the country. You know? And that was troubling to me because the rule of law rests on you have to follow the Constitution. That's the rule of law. That is the standard that we set. And to even suggest that you can breach the Constitution or that it would result in the betterment for the country. No, sir, you in charge. And your job is to come to the people and say, we have identified a fundamental issue. And you bring it to the people and you say, in this pandemic, there are things that we are going to need to do to protect the whole. But you can't circumvent the Constitution because you don't know what to do because the trust deficit is so large.
And even if you do circumvent the Constitution, what is the penalty?
Mm-hmm.
What is the penalty to you? You know, if I involve in a criminal act, you know, there's a penalty.
Yeah.
But if the Constitution is, the foundation of the Constitution is in breach, what is the penalty?
Yeah. Absolutely.
And that's why I think there's this impunity to tinker around. You know, you see it in other countries, what happened in Canada with the truckers. You look at it, and it's almost like they willfully do it because there is no penalty to them.
Right, and we sort of talked about socialization earlier, right? It's almost like a patronage system, but politicians operate like parents. Because, you know, a parent will break the rule. Mm-hmm. A parent will take your money. You get birthday money. People tell you, spend it on something nice for yourself.
But that is one system of, one explanation of democracy, the old version where we're the educated ones. We're going to make some decisions in your best interest.
Right.
And you just have to suck it up and trust us that we're doing the right thing, right?
Yeah.
I forget what it's called. There is like a
definition. It's called parenting.
Parenting, okay.
101. Taking this money. Yeah. And I'm buying you school shoes with it because it's in your best interest, right? Mm. And we sort of get that. We get that. We understand that. We understand how parents could be struggling. And look here, baby, I know you trying to put more money towards your Disneyland trip, but I need you to know I done teeth all the rest of your Disneyland money because bills got to pay. Mm-hmm. And I can make it up to you at another point in time. But be honest, right? Yeah. Be honest. Don't say somebody teeth the money and you know where it went. Be honest with your children. Same way, be honest with the citizens that you serve.
Mm-hmm.
We got to go to a break. We've been talking all this time, Mr. Palmer, but it's been a good talk.
Mm-hmm.
Stay tuned to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Guardian Radio AM. We'll be right back.
We're not always able to see the storms in life approaching, but we can take the necessary steps to be prepared to ensure the safety of ourselves, our loved ones, and our property. This hurricane season, trust J.S. Johnson Insurance Agents and Brokers. We'll be here to help you get back on track in your time of need. Call 397-2100 or visit jsjohnson.com. J.S. Johnson Insurance Agents and Brokers, giving you peace of mind.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Wait, you know what's going down tomorrow?
Nobody, what happening?
Joe bringing the knife to school? He could do join you in?
For what?
Well, he fooled with Joe girl.
Mother sick. And you know Junior don't back down for nothing. So that means he got a big fight tomorrow.
So whose side you on?
Side? I trying to stay in school, not Simpson fan. You gotta tell somebody about this fight.
Tell somebody? I ain't no snitch. I mean cool, you know.
Wait, if you so cool, then you need to stay in school and stay out of the fight.
Yeah, but if I don't hang on Joe's side, him and he boys coming for me next.
All right, so we definitely gotta tell somebody. We gotta prevent the fight.
What I say, I don't want nobody call me snitch.
We could just call Crime Stoppers. You could report what you know, and nobody gotta know it's you.
So how do I wait?
All you gotta do is call them, or you text them through the Crack Crime Bahamas app, and nobody can know it's you.
Then the police come looking for me for more info, and when they finish with them, Joe them coming looking for me? Uh-uh.
When you call Crime Stoppers, the calls go directly to Miami, and they don't ask nothing about you. Then if you get the pen from them, and you can claim a reward later using that same pen.
Plus, everything's scrambled, so nobody can read what you said.
Calls 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio AM on Guardian 96.9 FM. I'm sitting in for Mr. Cecil Newry today, and we are just going to close out the show. Mark, let me read these texts, and then this last segment. I got the text here, and again, I want to read it because I don't want this texter to think that I just decided to ignore and not share their views. Aaron, we don't hate gays because God said love. Love all. It's just this. If you want to have same-sex marriage, which is against God, why are you getting married when that is a godly action that was ordained by God? It contradicts what you're saying you're living for. We know y'all can go to the States and do it, so why try to force it in the Bahamas? Plus, this is also a movement of depopulation. Okay, text, and let's start here. Whoever tell you I was trying to get married? Whoever tell you that? Whoever tell you I was trying to marry man or woman? That person ain't got no sense. Protect your
brothers, protect your sisters. Nobody want married no miserable woman like me. I was trying to invite the state into my bedroom. Don't be spreading those nasty rumors unless, of course, they're handsome and witty or attractive and witty and have a good salary. Second of all, the marriage existed before the Christian church. Now, I know, respectfully, that Christians believe in a particular story that aligns the creation of the world and everything in it belongs to God. I respect your belief. But the institution of marriage is not exclusive to Christianity or to religion. It existed before then. And that's cool, too.
Hmm.
Yeah. And you told me I was trying to go to the States. You know how expensive it is to go to the States right now? And on the depopulation movements, listen, the world is not all overpopulated. Our sense of our importance, of humanity's importance on the planet is overinflated. And it is our rate of consumption that needs to shift.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need to depopulate the planet, but we need to change the way we live on it and relate to it and use it. That's all. But text, I want you to know, I ain't gonna not read your text. Because I don't like it. And then just this last two, and then we're going to finish out the show. Aaron, FNMs tend to forget history. It was Mr. Ingram that first made referendum political. He said, who won the referendum would win the election.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Mm-hmm.
He said, the person text that was wrong. But then it was wrong of him to do that.
Mm-hmm.
That was the incorrect protocol, like, right?
Okay.
But it turned out to be true.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and says, Aaron, I want people to get a grip. Wanting a right to gamble is not important as the right to live and citizenship we mix up. No, and nobody was equating that. People were saying that there are more important issues like immigration and housing and da-da-da-da. That's what people were saying versus the gender issue, but not that gambling was more important than the gender issue. But within that gambling discussion is the question of, can Aaron Green call the Bahamas a plantation if hotels are allowed to operate casinos, restrict access by Bahamians, and then take 90% or the vast majority of the profits out of the country? Right? Those questions and conversations are very, very important,
mm-hmm.
but maybe not at the the priority of other issues. Thank you, Texas, and thank you to all the callers today. I'm happy to be sitting in for Mr. Moon today, and I'm glad that you all called in to be a part of his show. Now, Mr. Palmer.
Yeah, do you remember on the 8th, there was a FBI raid into Trump's Mar-a-Lago, right? And that caused a huge fallout and lots of media speculation. But just a few days afterward, the CDC actually quietly ended the differentiation on COVID vaccination status. And I haven't seen anything.
Okay, now what do you mean when you say the differentiation on COVID vaccination status?
Well, I went to the CDC website and it was a little bit convoluted. So I went to NPR, which summarized it. And mm-hmm. they said the new COVID-19 guidance from the CDC focuses on individual decisions, right? So those exposed to the virus are no longer required to quarantine. That's big. Unvaccinated people now have the same guidance as vaccinated people. Do you hear the mic drop? So basically what they finally admitted to or finally came to agree with was the data we've known since May of last year that, you know, vaccinated and unvaccinated people transmit the virus in similar proportions. So for all those months now,
yeah.
They need to apologize to the people that couldn't eat in restaurants. But that is an amazing admission now by the CDC. And I want people to realize
that. Right, so that people who are vaccinated and people who are unvaccinated sitting in a
guidance.
Restaurant have the same...
Same guidance for masking, for quarantining, for everything. And so it invalidates the whole mandate situation. So... they have the same right, or they have the same guidance now, and so they shouldn't be treated differently.
Right. So what we're saying is if there is a mask mandate, people who are vaccinated should wear masks in the same way that people
exactly.
who are unvaccinated
yeah.
should wear masks, and there should be no distinction between the protocols.
So you shouldn't allow vaccinated people into university and test the unvaccinated, because that would be discriminatory now. Because the CDC has now acknowledged that the two are similar. So that's quite a big a quick, big change. I've been right. waiting for some time for that to come through, but it finally did come through.
And so is it fair to say that an unvaccinated person, masked or unmasked, mm-hmm. at an event may be a greater risk than the unvaccinated person? So the vaccinated person comes into the event untested, can be a risk to the unvaccinated person mm-hmm. that has only been allowed in because they tested negative.
They have been given the same status effectively yeah. now. So we move on. The other thing, which is yeah. interesting as well, if we're looking at public policy, Denmark, what they've recently, I went to the Danish site, they have actually ended vaccination for under 50s. So they don't, anyone under 50, they're saying it should be a voluntary decision with a doctor. They don't recommend, they're not offering any doses for children under 18.
Right,
as
September
of the 1st of September.
Yeah.
And so, and then I'm looking at what we're doing here. We're encouraging the vaccination of children when other countries are now saying that the minute the Danish Minister of Health came out, apologized. He says, what we know now about children and vaccinate, if we'd known back in the day, we would not have encouraged the vaccination. So I just thought I'd bring that up.
Wow.
That other countries are. Well, so, and you can actually go onto their website. They've mm-hmm. translated it into English. And mm-hmm. so it's they look at, they basically see diseases, mostly a seasonal disease, similar to influenza. And when you ask about recommendation of doses, they talk about, they believe, they recommend that, you know, unvaccinated people should still consider vaccination, but they're saying under 50 years, they don't now recommend it anymore, unless mm-hmm. unless you have a comorbidities.
Or chronic illness.
And as far as children, they said, reading from the website, children and adolescents only very rarely have a serious course of illness due to COVID-19 with the Omicron variant, which is why the offer of primary vaccination to children between 5 and 17 years will not be a general offer, but can be given after a specific medical assessment.
Okay.
So this is where some of the other countries are moving to.
Yeah.
So I'm just raising it. It's something that our Ministry of Health might want to consider.
Yeah, so absolutely.
There's some differences in approach.
Especially with yeah. the announcement of vaccination stations within the schools. And mm-hmm. I thought to myself, if only 192 minors are vaccinated, right, in country, I don't know if those stats include young people who are yeah. vaccinated abroad and then come back to live here. But if only 192 young people are vaccinated, but we haven't had any major health outbreaks among mm-hmm. young people.
Right.
What is
the benefit,
right, of demanding vaccinations or suggesting that you won't end the mask mandate for children unless the vaccination numbers mm-hmm. for children go up? Listen, Mark, we are all out of time. We're at that 12 o'clock hour where the news is coming on. So I just have to say one more, Mr. McCartney, one more happy birthday for you and all this Texter's fellow Leos. Happy birthday to you too, Texter. Enjoy the best month of the year. Well, only because it's hog plum time and sea grape time and Ganep time and star fruit time and there's still mangoes on the tree and avocados are dropping and sugar apple and soursop. Have a great day, Bahamas, and thank you so much, Mr. Palmer, for joining me.
My pleasure.
Absolutely. You've been on Guardian Radio AM with Cecil Newry, Aaron Green sitting in. Have a great day, Bahamas.